As we continue through till the remainder of this year, of our focus on what it means to follow Jesus, what Randy was talking about in telling the story, it is the story of our life. The story of Jesus Christ is the story that God has given us, and when we tell this story, it always revives us. But there's something that you may not know about the story or have put it together yet. The prophets of old, and this is the prophet's candle that we have lit this morning. The prophets of old spoke about the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. All 340 or 50 times in the Old Testament, we will witness where the prophet said Jesus is coming. This, in our church, is a Christmas tree. It is not a holiday tree. It's not any other kind of tree except a Christmas tree. We do not worship the Christmas tree. We worship the representation of this Christmas tree, who is Jesus, the Son of God, born in a manger in Bethlehem. No room for him and his parents. No room in the inn for them. But we remember Jesus. Such humble beginnings. Folks, the humility of Jesus was based on his love for you and me. That's when I talk to the parents when they lose a child. That child is in the arms of the Lord because of his love. You know, God really just puts up with us. And as he puts up with us, he extends his great love to us in the process. That's what it means to follow Jesus. There's a story behind it. So the prophets then, they prophesied of the coming Messiah. So Jesus comes. No room for him in the inn, and no room in the heart. No room in the heart of the religious leaders of that day, because they could not imagine that the Son of God would come being born in a manger. They just did not read close enough. They didn't care. And during Jesus' ministry, he let them know that. You speak of my Father, but you don't know him. For if you had known my Father, you would know me. You would know who I am. 300 and so many times where you brag about the prophets and you know how to read from the prophets and the prophecies that those prophets prophesied of the coming Messiah. But what you and I forget about, folks, too often, is this. That Christmas tree for us represents Jesus Christ coming, God incarnate. 300 and some times he said it. Now, in what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament, do you know that God allowed the prophets of both of those eras to proclaim over 2,400 times the second coming of Jesus Christ? Throughout Scripture, we will read the Word of God. We are commanded by God to follow Him. And throughout Scripture, over 2,400 times, we are told that Jesus is coming again. The focus on the second coming. More focus on the second coming than on the first. But you see, God wanted to warn all creation. All he had to do was look in the heart of man on that first Christmas morning and look at the ones that surrounded his only begotten son. Folks just like us had to come all the way from the east in order to see men of stature, as it would have been called. They showed up, but you know they weren't even a part of our seminary at that time. The Pharisees said that about Peter and all the other disciples. They didn't even go to our school. How could they know anything? Folks, Almighty God made a promise to us through his prophecy. And it is obvious to your pastor that I'm not going to get close to a lot of those slides, because you need to pay attention to the promise of God. Of all the promises you've ever heard, the promises of God, God will follow through with. God never breaks a promise. God never backs up from us because of a problem in our life. He's there to hold us, to lift us up, to encourage us, to dust us off, put us together again, just like a mother, a father would to their own child, because we are his. We are the family of God. But the prophecy? Let me read Jeremiah. The prophets proclaimed that the king is coming. Jesus, the king of the new covenant. Now, before I read this scripture, I want to lay it out for you. God worked from the beginning of the age. He worked with us as human beings by making covenants with the human race. The first covenant, of course, as you will know, would be with Noah right after the flood. The next would have been with Abraham, Moses, and Joshua. Well, anyway, there was about five. It's according to how they look at them. But about five covenants God made and man broke. You got me? God made and man broke. There would be one final covenant. That's the covenant I'm going to read to you. There'll be one final covenant. There'll be no more covenants after this. Man broke God's promise and our covenant with God every time. Now, if that had happened to you or me, we would have shut down that relationship in a heartbeat. That it's never going to get it right. But God says, listen, one final covenant, and this covenant is not going to be with pen and ink. It's not going to be with papyrus or any other written. It's not going to be on a stone tablet. The scripture says that those commandments were written by the finger of God on those tablets. And God looked at us, and God said, son, I got to send you. Let me tell you what you're going to do. God wanted to feel our pain, our hurt, the human condition. And the only way that he saw to do it was he himself come down in the form of his son. The human, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God came down. Why? Because he loved us. Why did Jesus have to come? Because the human race could not keep a covenant with God. And you know what had happened about the time Jesus comes into his ministry? This is why that the final covenant would have nothing to do with written guidelines, but with Holy Spirit power. Because during the whole ages here, very few could read. It's only those that were well off that were even able to read. And so they would proclaim, this is God's word. Many prophets of God were confronted by the false prophets of Satan. Many of those prophets, false prophets, would hold over the head of average folk. You can't read and you can't understand God's word, so therefore God sends me to talk to you. And then they found they had power. Power over the multitudes. And the multitudes would listen to false doctrine. And the lies of Satan himself. Jesus comes on the scene. Who's the first ones he got into it with? The religious leaders. Because you know what he was talking about? Relationships. Larry Vance and Randy Kidder cannot have a personal relationship with God himself, because they're a nobody. Do you know who somebodies are? Anybody created by God. There's no such thing as a nobody. You and I need everybody. And God says, okay, son, they're not going to follow, because I will put in the heart of my creation my truth, because their leaders are corrupt. We see the corruption today in our own time. Corruption of leaders who will go out of the way to tell a lie, even though the truth would have fit the occasion better. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. It's the new covenant coming. This is what this is about. Jesus has arrived. And when Jesus came in that manger, the prophet said he would be in that manger. And the prophet then said, this is what's going to happen. And every prophecy was fulfilled exactly. The time is coming, declares the Lord. This is it, the final covenant. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time. What time? The coming of the Messiah. The first Christmas, the coming of God incarnate. At that time, here's the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Thus saith the Lord thy God. The covenant the prophets were speaking of, that 340 plus times, would be the covenant that will change all that exists, where man no longer will have the power over another man. One nation will not rule over another. Lord, we got a mess down here. He didn't make it. What did he say in the covenant? I will have revealed myself to them, so therefore they'll have no excuse. We're listening throughout the world and listening to the degrading of the Christian name. You can say anything you want as long as you don't say Jesus is Lord. But then if you don't say Jesus is Lord, everything coming out of your mouth is nothing but a pure, deceitful lie, straight from the pits of hell. For Jesus is the Lord. He is the Son of the living God. I listen to people talk and they say, you know what America needs? America needs a hero. I love watching all those movies. I started with the cowboys. And I love to see the white hats ride into town. As the good guys coming in. Jesus came. The hero everyone says we need is already here. The hero of our existence was born some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea. He came and told us that one day we'll ride off with him. One day, he says, I want you now, while you're in this human body, I want you to go ahead and I want you to tell the story. The story. When Jesus spoke, you all know it as parables. He told stories. Tell the stories to the children, and the children will remember. But have we so outgrown the true story in our day and age that we want to clean it up a little? Folks, you cannot clean up the cross, and you cannot believe truly in your heart that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin in a manger, and not believe that he gave his heart, his whole being for our sin. He took it all. He took it all. And he said, I love you. I love you so much. I'll take every pain. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But Lord, I'm so weak. Good. Then I can use you more. Then you'll pay better attention. Must the United States of America be brought down to their knees before once again we look up to the living God? Are the churches of our era either going to stand up for Jesus or just lock that door? Because Jesus is coming. All you Christians have said that for 2,000 years. Well, we're just repeating God. And you know, God had no beginning, he said, and he has no ending. I'm on the right team. I know Jesus personally, and as a Christian, you do also. Because you see, the true faith is in a true personality, Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Do you know that he never says here, when the Son of Man comes, will you find the church ringing its bell for me? Will you find my name on everything? If the name of the Son of God is not on your heart, you have missed life. Do you know that the Word tells us that the judgment begins in the house of God. Begins in the house of God. You can praise, you can shout, you can do all of this stuff. But if you don't have a personal relationship with that Savior born in a manger some 2,000 years ago, if without that relationship, your life will never mean anything. Except something for Satan to use to stop. Stop what? Stop Christians from declaring, thus saith the Lord. Stop Christians from standing up there and bragging about, we know the way. I'm happy to brag on Jesus. I'm happy to brag on his word. I'm happy to brag that as a human being I have no hope. And the only hope that you and I will have is when we have that faith. I believe everything. I believe the stories. See, I believe the manger story. I believe the Word of God all the way walking to the cross. The beginning, and right over here, not the finish. No. The beginning and the completion. You see, truly, Jesus completes us. Jesus pulls us together. The only hope that I have is through faith. The only faith I have is the faith given to me by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember? He said this is the final covenant. Remember? This is it. When Jesus comes, there isn't any more. There's not another name that you can lift. There's no power that you can put above it. There's no love greater than it. And there will be no peace in the heart of man until Christ gives us that peace. You can walk straight, direct into the door of hell as a Christian. As Brother Joe Mary said, Christian ought to be full of so much faith that he can swing over hell on a rotten cornstalk, sang an Amazing Grace. We've got to get it in our heart. Quit overthinking. Quit trying to figure out how everything started. Quit trying to decide, who created God, and getting in all of that foolishness. Folks, you got enough to deal with your life and the loved ones around you. And even if you know, even if we have a record of all the other, which isn't necessary, you know why? It's not in what I know, but who I know. It's not on something some man wrote. Jesus says, I'll reveal myself to you. I'll touch your heart. That's what we call conviction. That's what we say, I'm a friend of Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Maybe we ought to read more into the book of the living. The book of the living. For Christian, when you have faith in Jesus Christ, you will never die. Don't fear. No such thing. You and I see the separation from the body. We look at that body and we love the individuals when we look into caskets or whatever. But a part of them's always here. That doesn't leave us. So I must know then that when Jesus went back to God the Father, he left his picture in our heart, his promise on our mind, and he gave us the snapshot of victory. And you know what the New Testament tells us? It's the final covenant, but it says be prepared, because all the prophets yelled about it for all those years, proclaimed it, and no religious leader was even waiting for it, because they become so into self. Well, I got news for you. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And he looks to the heart. Will I truly find faith when I get there? Do you believe me, Larry? Do you trust me? You'll never understand me, but I want you to know something. I love you. When you hear the voice of Christ letting you know how much he loves you, then it doesn't matter the size of the army against the Lord. If they said there is no God, why are they fighting so hard to keep the name of his son separated? They truly believe that. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Not as a suffering servant, but as a reigning king. And he will say, that's it. When Jesus says enough, it's enough. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name for your love. Father, we ask now that as each one of us lift our heart to you. Father, most of the time we don't even know what to pray for. And then when we have it on our heart, we don't know how to say it. And we know, Father, from your promise that is through your Holy Spirit that you hear our prayer. Father, you never leave us nor forsake us. Forgive each of us when we get off the path. Forgive us, Father, for the foolishness that we get caught up in life. I lift to you now, Father, each one in the sound of my voice, and that you will bless their life, their family. Oh, Father, touch the heart of the broken. Mend the spirit, Father, of those who have witnessed such evil and vileness. Help us to trust you more. Bless us as we are about your business. And help us to encourage others. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.